Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are live at Flowery Branch, guys. It is Dukes and Bell. Glad to have you listening. And you can always get involved in the conversation, 404-741-0929 on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Good stuff from Coach Quinn, man. And, you know, listen, as we started the show and we said this is not a defeatist attitude. Mike and I are not just pumping air into this thing either. We're trying to give you the real. And, you know, if the real was we got up here today and it was, oh, woe is me, and how are we going to get out of this, we'd tell you that's not the feeling up here. So, you know, to hear Coach Quinn talk about the expectation, which I thought was great, is not too much from the fan base. We expect to win. We expect to be in the hunt. We expect to be a playoff team.
So does Arthur Blank.
That's right.
He said it last week, talking to Vaughn McClure, doesn't want to hear excuses. So, look, the Bucs are an awful defense. You know, they're really good against the run. So you could argue there's elements of what we saw in the Bengals game when we obviously blew that one at the end. Let's just hope that, you know, dudes tackle, dudes make some plays, and, you know, Julio's going to draw a double again. It's Mike Smith. Who knows how? They might just let Julio run wild. Julio, this might be the game, man. We get three touchdowns out of number 11 on Sunday.
You remember last year? That was the one where Sanu throws to Julio.
Right.
One of his touchdowns, at least. Yeah, man.
Listen. I mean, what's Grimes going to do? Get on Hargreaves' shoulder? I mean, when you think about, you know, where the Buccaneers' defense is, you know, they got Gerald McCoy, they got Jason Pierre-Paul. We've talked about
drafted
the linebacker.
Yeah,
they got decent linebackers too, but they're a secondary that is really a shambles. So, I mean, you would think that Matt should have some good numbers, but again, you get good numbers despite having the balance, and you'll hear our conversation. We had a quickie with Ryan Schrader and an even quickier one with Alex Mack. But, you know, they both understand, and as Dan does, you got to have the balance.
That's what it's about. And with us, our inability, at least last week especially, to be able to run the football, you become one-dimensional.
Right.
And, you know, Alex Mack said it. Listen, guys, when you are down in a game like that, and we know this, and you can't run the ball, they're going to come after your quarterback, and that's exactly what they did. Six sacks last week. We cannot have a repeat performance when it comes to that. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk some baseball, guys, because the Braves and the offseason has started. Now, last night, Red Sox disposed of the Yankees. They are now in the American League Championship Series, but really about the Braves is where do you go and how do you improve on what amazing season this was. And Dave O'Brien, as I said today on Twitter, dropped some knowledge on us when it comes to the possibilities of some of the things that the Braves may do. We'll let you hear it coming up in less than 20 minutes, and also a Five Stripes preview with Mike Conte is on the way. We are live at Flowery Branch, back at the studio. Sam Tarley, man, let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
So how desperate are the Jacksonville Jaguars? If you're not familiar, by the way, did you draft Leonard Fournette?
No? I did not.
Okay. Fournette, guys, out indefinitely because of a right hamstring injury, right? So the number two guy is T.J. Yeldon. Well, he's been playing with a nagging ankle injury, so they brought up the number three guy, Corey Grant. Well, he's got a Lisfranc injury. He's done for the season. All of a sudden, they go, Jamaal Charles, what are you doing? Jamaal Charles?
Kansas City Chief Jamaal Charles.
He signs a one-year deal today. Actually, yesterday it was announced. Mm-hmm. To the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, when Jamaal Charles was healthy and when he was in his prime with the Chiefs, he was a hell of a back. I don't have any idea what Jamaal Charles has left, but he signs a one-year deal, Mike, but that's how bad it is for Jacksonville with the running back situation right now.
Well, we got an early turnaround, quick turnaround for the Eagles. Eagles, speaking of running back issues, they lose Jay Ajayi for the rest of the season.
Ajayi!
Now, they move some money around on Fletcher Cox's contract, which immediately got the reporters in Philadelphia saying, aha, they're going to go make a trade for a running back. Okay. You're going to bring LeSean McCoy back, bring Shady back? Remember he got run out of town by Chip Kelly? Remember that when they had the purge, DeSean Jackson and Shady got the boot? Would you bring him back? Because I could see Shady McCoy doing that. Sean McDermott did not dismiss a report when asked. He says, LeSean is one of our better players. I thought he had a good game. They won the game against Tennessee. Really, we're just looking forward to playing the Houston Texans. We get calls all the time. Incoming calls happen all the time. Brandon, the general manager, and I talk a lot. I won't go into any detail about that, really. It's a big week for us. There's rumors McDermott don't like Shady.
Yeah.
There's rumors that the Bills in that locker room don't like McDermott.
Well, listen, and does this surprise you? It seems like where Shady goes, things seem to happen.
Right.
I know the thing with, you know, in Philadelphia, he was very outspoken there.
Right.
And so ultimately got him run. But I'm curious to see what Philly does with the running back situation. There are rumors out there that they want to bring in Le'Veon Bell. Now, Brian, I want to bring you into the conversation because I want you to explain this to our listeners. There's a reporter who works for Fox in Philly, okay? Because Philly guys are struggling. I mean, as much as we've talked about
right.
the Super Bowl and their offense, they're not scoring points at the highest clip as they were last year. They've had their issues. Now Wentz is back. But everybody in Philly is talking about, Mike, a Super Bowl hangover.
Right.
And so now everybody's throwing out their theory. So, Brian, back at the studio, explain what this guy's talking about.
Yeah, so this is Gary Cobb, Fox 29 in Philly. And talking with Mike Conte, he's someone he knows. He's like a well-known analyst and reporter. But this is what he had to say about how to cure that Super Bowl hangover.
I think that I would go to drastic measures. I think they'd need to go on a fast.
But what kind of fast?
Not food fast.
What?
The boys need to be cut off.
From what? From
the
sex?
Daddies.
The women?
No more
sex.
Do
you think that
sex.
Would make a difference? You think that's
the
issue?
They
They're getting too much?
Well, hey, it fogs up your mind. You know what I mean?
Isn't that already a rule? You're not supposed to do it like before
a
game or something?
Hey.
Hold on, 1955 call. They want this segment back.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice. Now, for those who don't remember, Gary played the NFL for 10 years, went to USC, and he wound up in Philly for a couple of years and wound up doing television there. So, I mean, I presume he's being tongue-in-cheek. I love hearing that female reporter's laugh. It turned me on. I got to be honest with you, Carl.
It turned you on?
A little bit. Don't worry. There's at least 3 feet between us.
No, I'm cool. Let's hear that again. Maybe I need to rehear this.
I like a good laugh.
Let me hear it again one more time, please.
The woman?
Yeah. Yeah. Daddy like it.
So let me ask you this. Have you ever...
Samuel, somebody booked... I want this woman booked on our program for tomorrow. I want to get a reaction. Talk well, Eagles.
Sounds like you've got a reaction.
I've got a reaction right now.
Have you ever given up sex for anything? I'm asking.
Does that include with myself?
Yeah.
No. Because, not that I'm aware of.
Because if you talk to athletes,
yes.
all right, at any level.
Well, Mickey says it weakens the legs, Rock. It takes your legs out.
Fighters right. talk about this.
Right.
Ball players talk about NBA. Okay, maybe they're a wrong example. Guys talk about this, and when they are going through it and they're not having great games or they're struggling, guys will tell you, man, I'm not doing it. Got to cut it off because I need my strength. And I'm just
wondering. Yeah, but I mean, all right, real quick. If there's kids in the car, earmuffs, 3.
It's an adult conversation.
Right, what if your special lady friend is doing all the work?
Still draining, Mike.
404-741-0929
is the number, and it's our Salomon Brothers Diamond text line. That coming out of Philly. That's Gary Cobb, by the way. It's not Dukes and Bell. We're just reacting to Cobb.
Yeah. Who basically said,
Now, there was a phrase, though, again, in the Me Too movement, you can't even have this discussion, so I'll tiptoe gently around it.
What are you talking
about? But in hockey, the slump buster.
Oh, sure.
There was an old phrase back in the day. Again, we can't even go down this road anymore.
Well,
this
is baseball, too.
These are all things which are now verboten. These are off the books. So, Squid Billy, yes, I got it, Squid. We're not going to talk about it.
Wait a minute. What is it, like back bar conversation?
Oh, all it
now?
Takes is one guy. It won't be a lady. It'll be a guy that will complain about this conversation, believe me. And our bosses think one guy equals 2 million people, so forget it.
Gary,
not worth it.
Gary Cobb saying the Eagles, ironically, need to be cut off. I don't know if that's their issue. Meanwhile, Mike Tomlin.
Well, how are you to cut it off? You won a Super Bowl. You're a big man in Philly right now. And by the way, let's keep it real. If we won a Super Bowl here in Atlanta, yes, we'd be excited. We'd be upset if this next season went down the tubes. But if you're in Philly, you hadn't won since Norm Van Brocklin in 1960.
Yeah.
I would think most Philly fans never thought they'd see a Super Bowl in their lifetime.
It's true.
But they are having a little bit of a hangover right now, and I think a lot of this has to do with more with the injuries and the weirdness with Wentz's injury as well.
No, Mike, they need to be cut off. Mike Tomlin fined $25,000 for criticizing officials. Did you see this? Tomlin said earlier this week that he did not expect the league to fine him for criticizing officials after Sunday's game. That was our game, guys.
Yeah. It went bad for both teams.
It did. And Tomlin has been outspoken about it. $25,000 out of his pocket. He says we've got to be better as a National Football League in his post-game interview. And I don't think most Falcon fans were paying attention to it because we were all down
right.
in the dumps with the way that our team played. But he says, man, these penalties. Oh, hold on. Let me get in the character. These penalties are costing people games and jobs. We've got to get them correct. So he goes in on the officials, and he says, I'm PO'd about it, to be quite honest with you, and that's all I'm going to say on it. $25,000.
You know, the refs have been, as we said, it's been a very strange year. We talked to Rich McKay from the competition committee. We started with all the different ticky-tack stuff on the hits. Then we had the ridiculous calls on roughing the passer. They walked it back. Then it came back up again. You know what I mean? It kind of roller-coastered back up a little bit last week.
I'm sorry. I keep thinking about her laugh. I apologize.
Can I hear one more time, Sam? Well, oh, Bo, let me have my – can I please have my, like, moments of fun? I love that. Oh, there's nothing – for our real quick, for my money, there's nothing sexier than a very – sexy laugh.
That's a sexy laugh.
To me, that I think that unless some guys might text us, that sounds annoying, like it's a cackle. I thought it was kind of sexy. I like it.
The woman.
Yes, like we're having a tickle fight. Being naughty.
It is our NFL Blitz segment brought to you by Jim Ellis Kia of Kennesaw. Oh man! Hey, in some other news, you know, Breeze breaks the record the other day, Monday Night Football. We've said this. Where does he rank, man? People already know he's going to the Hall of Fame. But people are having this conversation and saying he's one of the 10 best quarterbacks of all time.
Well, here's the thing. I would say he's one of the 4 best quarterbacks of all time. But you have to remember, when you have this argument, it goes from era to era. Joe Montana was our guy, but he played in a different era. You didn't throw it as much. And then as you get into Drew Brees, the meat of his career, the rules about how defenders defend wide receivers completely go out the window.
It does.
And are so different from the days of, you know, a Dan Fouts, even a Dan Marino. You know, even Brett Favre had a career where he had some overlap when they finally open things up a little bit for the wide receivers versus the defensive backs. Just be able to really have a ton of contact. So I do think it goes from era to era. I think that in the down years, just like with Marino, when they weren't winning, they were asking to do a lot. Those were those 7-9 seasons.
Right.
But I got Drew Brees top 5.
It's hard to argue, man.
And maybe just because I've seen him, you know, have some big moments against us. You know, but we've seen, to me, especially when
he's been great.
It doesn't matter if he's 6'5" or 5'10". I mean, but it is kind of cool that also a guy who isn't the biggest dude with the biggest arm has had the kind of numbers he's had in his career.
5,000-yard passing seasons, okay? Then you throw in the most consecutive 4,000-yard seasons, most consecutive games with passing touchdowns, the most career 400-yard passing games. Dude. He is one of the top 5 best quarterbacks ever. And it's hard because we're Falcon fans to say that and go, oh, you know, like I said earlier in the week, you ain't got to like him, but you got to respect it.
Right.
And that dude is definitely one of the top 5 to ever do it. And it's not just based on the Super Bowl. Guys, a lot of people will tell you this, and you guys know, you know folks from New Orleans. He gave the city life. I mean, people will give Drew Brees credit. He could run for mayor tomorrow and probably win. He could run for governor. He gave the city life after Katrina and was the part of that rejuvenation that went on. And then in the process, Mike, he's doing all the stuff on the field that I just talked about.
But here's the question. We asked Brian Billick about it yesterday. That interview is online, by the way, at 929thegame.com, guys. But let me ask you this. Because Joe Montana had a fantastic team around him.
He did.
Tom Brady obviously has the Bill Belichick business model, but Brady's also made some amazing throws. And he's won when he hasn't had great receivers, and he's won when he hasn't even had a balanced running attack. But what about the fact that, does it diminish it in your mind? And I asked this of Brian Billick, that you've got a guy perfectly suited to his offense in Sean Payton, and a guy that really developed one of the best offensive minds in the NFL of this generation. I mean, does that diminish it, or you say they just work in concert and the results speak for themselves?
I would tell you that Belichick and Brady were right for each other, and I would tell you that Brees and Sean Payton are right for each other. I mean, Mike, how else can you explain it? You could say that, you know, Bill Walsh and Montana, we're right for each other. It's rare that you get that and the consistency that those kind of guys.
I put Brees top 5, but again, it's such a tough conversation because you think about John Elway, and even though he's a different era because of passing, John was so, you know, obviously all so right. effective running the ball.
So real quick, obviously, and he's not retired yet, Brady's in there, done,
right.
Okay? You're also going to put in there Joe Montana.
Right.
Okay?
He's my guy, can't come on.
Well, he was undefeated in Super Bowls. Okay, so let's just say those two for sure, all right? The next three... Are you going to go Peyton Manning?
No. Too many moments in the playoffs for me.
Peyton Manning would not be in your top 5.
No.
He would be in mine. Who's the last two quarterbacks right now if you went top 5 all time?
We're going to go black and white. Johnny Unitas.
Okay. And then you're telling me Drew Brees.
Yeah.
So the one
I take Drew Brees over Peyton Manning.
Okay. But to me, Brees
I've never
is
been
in
a Manning
there.
Guy. I know that's sacrilege
no,
to
no,
some.
No.
I've just to me,
Brees is in there though.
Too many tight gets tight and too many big moments.
I watched, and I know many of you did as well. This dude won 12 and 13 games for 13 seasons. Now, he didn't win as many Super Bowls as some people thought. Peyton Manning was unbelievable. But that's the argument.
And, there's no wrong answer. You can go round and round, and the style makes the argument right there.
Anyways, it's all about Breeze and the love fest he's getting, and that's why we bring it up.
Let's give away some loot.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
The code word. The code word is missing. You put the code word in your
Young.
Carl put the code word in his rucksack.
Young.
The word is young. Forever young. Squidbilly's having a meltdown. Why don't you go hold Archer's microphone? Stop yelling at us.
Young.
72881. Text young to 72881 for your shot at $1,000. The word is young. We're making Bo feel very old by the minute. Young for your shot at a grand at 72881. Text it now.
When we come back, what you missed from Dave O'Brien that has everyone around the country going, huh?
The woman?
Express Loops for
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now streaming anywhere on radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are live at Flowery Branch, guys. It's Duke Zabel. Happy Wednesday. Preparation for the Falcons. Getting ready for Tampa Bay starting today. Grady Jarrett, they're not sure if he's going to be able to go. Dan Quinn saying that he'll probably have a better assessment maybe tomorrow about Grady. We did see Grady today, and again, really couldn't tell you. You know, physically he looks fine, but it's about healing and being able to play. If Grady can go, he certainly will. More about what Coach Dan Quinn had to say today, and also in the 5 o'clock hour, Mike and I had a chance to catch up briefly with Ryan Schrader and Alex Mack. A lot of talk about this offensive line, Mike, last week, and the 6 sacks and the things we were not able to do and how do you get those things corrected moving forward.
Yeah, man, certainly, guys. The more this thing goes down this road without grabbing a win, I mean, the pressure just mounts, and then the more mistakes happen. Because right now you can't do the work of 2 guys, okay? You can't do the work of a Pro Bowler if you don't have that skill set. So we've got to cut down on the offsides, got to cut down on the holding penalties, the false. You got no margin for error with that. You've boxed yourself now into this corner where, in addition to making plays, you can't do stupid stuff. You cannot let some special teamer get a free ride and a run right onto Bosher. As that's happened now twice, you know, this season. Dan Quinn said that was unacceptable today in our meeting with the media. So look, guys, we know that teams have done it. You can count them on one hand, and it's certainly tough. But we know we got the talent. Like when you got a Julio Jones and Matt Ryan and all the weapons, you know, just give the man 3 seconds to throw the football, and good things are going to happen on Sunday.
Yeah, protection is a big part of it. You'll hear that those interviews coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for that. Mike and I had a chance to catch up with a FOS friend of the show, Dave O'Brien, who now writes for The Athletic. He covers the Braves, guys, one of the best baseball writers out there. And you know, Dave giving us an analysis of what he thought happened in the Dodgers series, and we've kind of talked about it. But then we got into where the Braves go. And I want you to listen to Dave O'Brien because, as he says, they're going to have plenty of money to spend.
They got some money, and they don't have a whole lot of holes to throw that money.
Right.
So if they wanted to go out and spend more than they have in a long time for a player, they could. Here's what you need. Here's the needs. You got to get some bullpen arms. You got to strengthen the bullpen because that was really cost them down the stretch and in the postseason. You got to get some dudes in there, some real hard throwing, established bullpen guys that you can go to. Look at Milwaukee's bullpen. I mean, it can't be that good. I know that's an exception, but man, I mean, it's carrying them to this thing, you know. And the Braves bullpen was just a bunch of good guys that pitched well early, but they got tired. You know, they faded down the stretch. That's why the 3 main guys that he had in the first half, none of them were on the postseason roster. None of them. Shane Carl, Winkler, you know, the guys that you've leaned on so much early, Biddle, none of those guys were on the postseason roster. Instead, you had guys who had barely pitched any in relief, rookies, prospects, Tuki Toussaint, Sabatka, who got blown up yesterday and gave up the 3-run homer.
Yep.
You went to those guys because the other guys were so tired and pitched so poorly down the stretch. So I think you got to get some bullpen arms, and you got to get at least one more bat.
Right.
So you got a lot of money to spend, and you're not going to go out and sign, I don't think you go out and sign multi-year relievers because those contracts don't work out. People overspent for relievers last year. I think you got to trade for a reliever or two. You've got the prospect capital. You can do it for a reliever or two with a year or two controllable. You know, but not go out and spend 3-4 year contracts on relievers because they cost so much, and those guys end up getting hurt. Those are bad investments. But you got to get some arms. The other ones get a big bat, and you could go out. There's not many out there. There's not going to be many at all.
Right.
And I don't think you get Manny Machado because I don't think you block Austin Riley at third base. I think he's the real deal, and I think he'll be ready by early season next year. So if you need to get by with Camargo till then, you could. Or you go out and get a guy like if you could find a guy that can play third and the corner outfield spots, mm-hmm. The guy like the Dodgers get these versatile guys that can rake and they can also play two or three positions. If you could get one like that, that'd be ideal. But you could also go out and spend, make a big offer. If you wanted to go after Bryce Harper, for instance, and people scoff, you could actually do it.
They could?
I mean, you could do it. They have the money to do it if they want to do it. It's just a matter of do you want to spend.
I've been saying
that
it.
If you want to spend that big a percentage of your payroll
That's
on
right.
one guy. But Freddie's under contract, and at one time everybody's like, Freddie's contract is so huge. Well, Freddie's contract looks pretty good right
yeah.
now. I mean, a guy like him, an MVP candidate making $23 million a year, is very reasonable. And he's your only huge salary because the other ones are off the books next year. You paid Adrian Gonzalez all this money. He's gone. McCarthy's gone. You obviously got rid of Matt Kemp last year. That was the whole purpose of doing that. So you don't have any huge salaries except Freddie's. And the other, you got $60 million or so committed next year. That's it.
Right.
So you can sign a guy like you could sign Acuna, but you can wait another year to do that, do a big time long term deal. There's still not no reason to panic on Acuna yet, but you could do that when you want. You could also make it a huge deal and to make the first few years of that. He doesn't have to make a whole lot of money in the first few years. But if you wanted to go after Bryce Harper, I keep saying this and people scoff at me, but they could make him an offer. I'm not saying if it goes up to around $35 million a year, okay, that's a bit much, but I don't know that he's going to get that kind.
But Dave,
if you look at the market last year.
I'm with you on this, and we've been talking about it. It's Dave O'Brien, guys, from The Athletic. We've been saying this, and I've said the same thing. I think if they want to do it, they can. It doesn't mean we can get him or he wants to come, but they are a team that should be in the mix if they want to make it happen. Dave, we got a couple of more minutes here with you real quick.
Hey, Dave,
Freddie Freeman, but just know this. Freddie Freeman really likes Bryce Harper. They've become good friends, and he's been kind of campaigning for him to come over here, for the last year or two. And I could see Bryce Harper fitting in. I mean, imagine that outfield. Acuna in center. If you keep Ender, you start out with Bryce Harper in right, Ender in center, and Acuna in left.
Yes, please.
Well, you have to
right, and then when Christian Pasch is ready, if you want to do that, then you could trade Ender in Ciarte. But right now, you'd have the best outfield in baseball probably with Acuna, Bryce Harper, and Ender in Ciarte.
Bryce's only 25 right now, by the way. So, I mean,
he's been in the league 7 years.
Yeah, because he was a prodigy. Obviously, came all the way up from high school. I mean, shoot, he was playing against college-level guys when he was in junior high. So, like, I know for some it does seem like a pie in the sky. There's a perception. And I saw it today in social media because I saw a lot of people especially reacting to Jeff Schultz's article yesterday, also in The Athletic, about Liberty Media, put your money where your mouth is, So that would be unbelievable. Imagine the buzz. That you go into spring training, the biggest story in Atlanta.
Yes.
Bigger than, depending on what happens with the Falcons. I mean, the Braves have battled back from almost irrelevancy. The last year at Turner Field, obviously SunTrust. I was surprised at attendance last year. This year, everybody got on board. Amazing postseason. But you want to talk about owning this town or at least going a long way to doing it? Holy moly.
Well, it creates a situation where, and it happened this year as fans made their way to the ballpark or you watch these games on TV, you wanted to see what Acuna was going to do. You didn't know. He might hit 2 leadoff home runs.
Right.
He might steal 3 bags. He might hit for the cycle. He might hit a grand slam. Now you have another guy on the squad, potentially, if you go get Harper, who brings that same kind of ability. It is must-see TV. It's must-see checkout Braves, man. So, on top of the fact that, Mike, it might be a smart business decision, it creates an environment for your fan base that now everybody is, you know, up in arms about, hey, what's going to happen with this team?
Right.
You still have the stability of Freddie, and he mentioned $23 million. It sounds like a lot of money, and don't get me wrong, it is. But in the world of baseball, it's not. Freddie is our highest-paid guy right now. This team and this organization has the ability to make this happen if they want to. At least get in the conversation.
But certainly, and the reason we bring it up, guys, and I know that there's always going to be the sentimentality that comes up all the time, which we get past that. We love Nick Markakis, great guy. But at 35, you say, look, if I can upgrade and get – imagine adding 30 to 35 home runs a year in your lineup. That's what's missing right now is the home run pop. So Acuna's not going to lead off his whole career, you know, but, I mean, Posh, and then you talk about Austin Riley, and perhaps if – now, here's the thing. Austin Riley, the knock on him, if there's a knock, is he strikes out a lot. But the guy's an unbelievable glove man, so he would be in the hot corner. Then if you wanted to move on from Dansby, and I know that's also sacrilegious, but if you feel that Camargo could maybe be your answer at shortstop, unless, of course, Dansby at some point will be a 275 hitter, I don't think that's ever going to happen. But anyway, these are good problems to have. You got a lot of guys you can move around.
Well, that's the thing, guys, and that's why the future's bright for the Braves. We thank Dave O'Brien for stopping by yesterday and you know, giving us that tidbit about Freddie. But, you know, the bigger thing is bullpen arms. I know guys are saying, Dukes, Bell, we don't need all that other stuff. We need more pitching. Please understand there are at least three to maybe four starting pitchers in the pipeline right. We haven't even seen yet. We got a chance to see Tookie this year and Max Fried and some of these other guys. We got four guys that you hadn't even seen at the major league level. We have the capital when it comes to young arms if you wanted to make a trade to improve your bullpen, as Dave O'Brien mentioned. But that to me, those are the two things. One more big bat, go get some bullpen help. And then let's see where these young pitchers are. And if you have enough money, if you don't go sign a guy like Harper Mike, then you go get one other starting pitcher.
So you'd have Fulte, Newcomb, Gausman, Tookie. I mean, and Dave, other part of the conversation, as Carl mentioned, that's online, you know, maybe you move on, you try to find a trade partner for Julio. His contract's still very affordable, but he's still such a mystery, such an enigma. You don't know what you're going to get week in, week out with Julio Teheran. Certainly not a lot of confidence in the organization in him. At home, it's been a struggle at SunTrust.
Yeah, I think, you know, the writing's on the wall when you bring him in the game you did in game four. Mike, where the confidence level is with Julio Teheran. Guys, coming up, it's a Five Stripes preview. Mike Conte, the voice of our Atlanta United, joins us next.
Time for the weekly Five Stripes preview.
And it's punched in for a goal.
With Atlanta United announcer Mike Conte. Brought to you by Associated Credit Union. The way banking should be.
All right, guys, we do it each and every week. Let's spend some time with the voice of our Atlanta United, Mike Conte. And, Conte, first, let's start talking about what we saw last week. George Bello scores his first goal. It was a great outing for our squad, and, you know, we get a victory. Obviously, the supporter shield is very important to us still. We heard that from Darren Eales. But what was your assessment of the game last week?
Good, solid win. Came at a high price, obviously, with Almiron getting hurt, which you don't like to see. It sounds like it's not a major, major injury, but it could be something that could keep him out for at least the next match, if not more. But, yeah, really cool to see 16-year-old George Bello. He's probably not going to score a lot of goals in his career because that's not what he's out there to do. But for him to take advantage of the opportunity and to somehow beat the goalkeeper between the near post and the keeper, which is a goal you almost never see in soccer, really, really neat to see. Thought he played mostly mistake-free soccer. I think he earned another start. I think he'll get a chance to start again. In a week and a half when Chicago Fire comes to town. And then you have Greg Garza re-entering the picture. And suddenly now Atlanta United, which had been very, very thin at left back through the year, suddenly now with a lot of depth as we go into the playoffs, which is a good sign.
And the thing, that, you know, it's so interesting to see how over the last season or so, you know, Gressel has been a guy, Mike, that from the wing can give amazing service, as they say, you know, for guys who don't follow soccer. Just putting the ball almost like on your attacking player's feet, you know, from distance. And then Garza has that speed element, you know, where he races down. I mean, there's so many different things each guy brings to the table, which, you know, Tata can throw in the mix.
And he's a veteran. And, you know, after the Chicago match, you know your next two matches are going to be on the road. You're going to be at Toronto the final week of the regular season. You'll be on the road for the first leg of the conference semifinal the Sunday after that. I think Tata is going to lean more towards veterans, guys who have been there before. It doesn't mean that George Bello wouldn't be in the lineup in that situation, but I just think Garza gives you a sense of calm, a sense that you have a guy back there who knows what he's doing, who's been on that kind of stage before and can flourish in it, because those two road matches are not going to be easy for Atlanta United at all. Toronto will be playing to try to keep Atlanta United from breaking their points record in the season. And then, obviously, you're going to have the pressure of a road playoff match on November 4th.
Mike Conte joining us here on Dukes and Bell. What do you make about the Arsenal and Miggy rumors? You know, of course, we've heard the numbers or the projected numbers. What do you make of this, Mike?
I think it's fake news. I think it's literally fake news. I mean, someone in Latin America manufactured a quote that was attributed to Darren Eagles, who's the alter ego of Darren Eels, I guess.
Right. What about Arthur Blanco? Did Arthur Blanco comment on this?
I don't know. I haven't seen Arthur. I haven't seen Mr. Blanco make a comment yet, but who knows? Maybe he will. No, I mean, this is what happens in the international transfer market. The journalistic standards in other parts of the world are a little bit different than what we have in the United States. It's just something we're going to have to get used to. I thought Darren's comment with you yesterday was very revealing. Maybe if it was triple the number that had been reported, he might consider it. A lot of people don't know Darren, before he got to Spurs, was a barrister. He was a lawyer. What do lawyers do? They negotiate to keep cases from getting into the courtroom. And Darren's a master negotiator. He's a really sharp guy. He's Ivy League educated. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's saying every time he goes on the air with you. So that, to me, I think was the most solid, concrete thing we can take out of any of this, the comments that Darren made to you yesterday. But remember, even if Almiron was to be sold to Arsenal or Leicester City, as was reported today, or wherever, it's right. not going to happen until the winter transfer window, which means Miggy is going to be here all the way through the MLS Cup final.
And that's the thing, guys. As I know, some of us are learning more about it, or maybe you followed soccer over the years. I always thought, Mike, and this is a conversation I had with a couple of our buddies at the game match last week. Isn't Miggy a little slight, though, for the English Premier League? Because if you look, for instance, when we played last week, right, and you see the Revolution, all the guys in the MLS are that size, but they can all move. Whereas, you know, here in the MLS, it's a little bit different. Wouldn't Miggy be a better fit in Spain, perhaps?
I'd love to see him in Italy. Or Spain.
Right.
But I think the fact that the Premier League and there are some Premier League clubs that are in on him, I think is a validation of his level of talent. Remember, Miguel Almiron's not that old. I mean, he's still, right. you know, in his early to mid-20s, which is kind of the sweet spot for soccer players who are looking to hit the transfer market. He could go to a Premier League club and that club could loan him to somewhere else. For him to refine whatever he needs to refine. So I'm with you. I get where you're going with that. I take it as, again, though, validation. I mean, it's not often when an MLS player is sold to a Premier League club for that kind of money. You could be talking about one of the more expensive transfers in MLS history if and when it finally does happen. It's an indication of how much Miguel Almiron is respected around the world.
Tell us about Chicago Fire and what you expect in this next match.
You know, Chicago's not very good, but they came in here for the U.S. Open Cup in June and really dominated Atlanta United, got the 1-0 win. Now, I understand Atlanta United didn't have, like, really a fully first-choice lineup that night, but we know Chicago is capable. They play the high press. They aren't as talented as New York Red Bulls, but they play the same kind of system. So I don't think it's going to be a comfortable match a week from Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But Atlanta United, certainly superior in terms of talent, in terms of technical skill. The thing that you have to keep in mind, guys, is if Atlanta United wants to win the Shield, and I think the comments of Darren yesterday, the comments from some of the players over the last couple weeks, they really do want to win the Shield. Atlanta United has got to win these last two matches, and I think it is very, very critical in this Chicago match. Goal difference is going to start coming into play now, because if Atlanta United were to win and Red Bulls were to draw against Philadelphia Union a week from Sunday, and that is certainly a very plausible scenario. Atlanta United would be 3 points ahead of Red Bulls, but if they were to lose to Toronto and if Red Bulls were to beat Orlando, which is a near certainty on that end, it could come down to goal difference. And Atlanta United has had 3 goals pulled off their goal difference lead over Red Bulls over the last 2 weeks. They only have a 1-goal advantage in goal difference right now. So not only does Atlanta United need to beat Chicago, But, boy, if there was ever a time to get a 4-0 or a 5-0 win, this would be it, because it could come into play in determining who wins the supporter shield.
It's a Mike Conti guy's talking about our Atlanta United, and that's what made that last goal, or last, I guess, last two-minute goal, yeah, if you will, so frustrating last week against New England. But here's the thing, Mike, and for those who are not following, Philadelphia has gotten really hot. Philadelphia mm-hmm. Union is really a different team, probably even the last time we saw them. But Mike Conti's with us. Mike, who is this wonderful financial institution which brings us your brilliance each week?
I'm glad you asked, Mike. It's Associated Credit Union, the way banking should be.
All right, let me ask you this, buddy boy. I know we ask you this probably every other week. We brought Barco in, a lot of expectation because of the transfer fee to get him from up in South America, down in South America, up here. What is his role if Miggy's absence is extended? I mean, can he do some of the things that Miggy does, or is another guy down in South America whose nickname is Pity going to take over for Miggy down the road?
Well, I don't know about beyond this year. I mean, no one named Pity is going to be playing for the rest of this year. So it's right. going to be Barco while Almiron is out, I think, as the number 10. It doesn't have to be him. It could be Julian Gressel. It could be Kevin Kranz. It could be Andrew Carlton. You could push Darlington Nagbia. There are a lot of different options. And Tata Martino, in his Spanish-language comments after the match last Saturday, had said, you know, yeah, it was Barco in this match, but we could go another direction down the road. But I think what makes the most sense, and Jason Longshore was just talking about this on Stoppage Time on 92.9thegame.com, the easiest solution is to just plug Barco into the number 10. You can stay in the 3-5-2. He's got a skill set that's suited for it. I think this is a great opportunity for Ezequiel Barco. I really do. I think he's been the subject of some very, very harsh, unfair criticism because a lot of people haven't understood. Ezequiel Barco was not brought here to score goals. He was brought here to create opportunities, and he has done that. You look at his passing. You look at his technical ability. You look at his uncanny ability to draw fouls. That's almost unbelievable. So he's creating free kicks and set pieces. He's done everything that he was brought here to do as far as create opportunities. He has not scored a lot of goals. That's not why he was brought here. So I don't think it's a fair narrative, but now I think Barco has a chance to take control of the narrative about him, because he is going to have a very crucial role in these final two regular season matches if Miguel Almiron cannot play. If he goes out and he turns in two man-of-the-match caliber performances and Atlanta United wins both those matches, you can make the argument, hey, if not for Barco, we wouldn't have won the Shield. So I think it's a really good opportunity for him, and I look forward to seeing it against Chicago Fire, because I think a player like him against a physical team in Chicago can really create a lot of mismatches against the Fire.
I've been asked this question, Mike, and I'll present it to you. Last thing, catchphrases. And then a guy asked me, he says, does Conti have these catchphrases that he says when the guys score, or is that something he comes up with? And I said, I will ask him next time we get him on to talk about the five stripes.
Absolutely not. I'm not Jim Nance. I don't rehearse anything in advance. I'm serious. I watch other guys do this. I watch Nance call golf tournaments with his, you know, pre-rehearsed.
Sure.
You know, right. Oh, Duke is the king of the dance or whatever. I can't stand that. I don't rehearse any of it. It's just what comes out of my head naturally. The Gressel Mania thing has kind of become a thing. I can't take credit for it. Someone else put that idea in my head, But no, I don't rehearse any of it. I probably would be a better announcer if I did, but that's not the way I roll. I just want it to come naturally.
Well, it's better spontaneous, Mike. Great job as always. Mike Conti, it's our Five Stripes preview.
Yes, some people have a way with words. Other people not have way, as Steve Martin used to say. Great job, Mikey. We'll see you back in studio tomorrow, man.
See you guys.
All right, guys, coming up on the sidelines with the Dogs, who the Dogs may be without on the defensive side going into LSU game, into the game on Saturday. Find out next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.